world in which we live, I find it increasingly interesting at how much effort is put into beating the system through dishonest gain and through illegal activities. One of the most common and popular crimes today is what is referred to as identity theft. And it happens when some criminal gets a hold of pertinent information about you, and then they wreak havoc on your life. If somehow they can secure your social security number or your date of birth, they will obtain a driver's license at some other state, and they will go on a buying binge and open charge accounts at every possible retail store that they can get to. And often while this is going on, you know nothing about it until you receive a call from a collector one day asking you why you aren't making your payments. Or you'll try to apply for credit yourself and you'll be declined because you're delinquent on charge accounts that you didn't even know you had that somebody else opened. And it is then when you realize that you've been duped. Someone has created a problem for you that it's going to take years to clean it up. It will cost you an enormous amount of time and frustration and anger and money because someone walked around representing themselves as you. And all of a sudden, you've lost your identity. Identity is an important issue in the life of a human being because how you are perceived, but more importantly, how you perceive yourself has a great bearing on your daily life and how you live it, both for good and for bad, I might add. And as a Christ follower, you likewise have an identity. However, this identity is not based upon your credit worthiness or your debt-to-income ratio or your credit score. It's not based on your past mistakes or your past failures or your sin or bad choices or decisions that you've made in your life. It's not based on any strongholds or addictions that you're suffering with. It is based on the fact that you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. And you have been adopted into God's family as royalty, as a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And none of that stuff that you saw in that video, none of that stuff from your past matters anymore. Because regardless of your past issues or even the current circumstances that you may find yourself in, you must always remember this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. As I was praying about what I would share this morning, the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, my mind went in many different directions. And I thought of those who this morning were being identified with Christ by being baptized in water. What an exciting day. I already explained that. Anytime someone gets baptized, it's an exciting time. But let's face it, in the world in which we live, not every day is going to be an exciting and a joyous day because we are going to be challenged in our faith by this world. People will try to discourage you, and they will tell you that what you have isn't real, and they will tell you you just need to start living for yourself. Don't worry about all that garbage you hear going on at church. And I also thought about those who were with us last week who made a commitment to Christ, and there were many. And I knew that many of you would return today, and after your first week of being a Christ follower, and no doubt this past week had its challenges for you as well. You probably had doubts and fears and questions and frustration as you were trying to seek to find your new identity in Christ. And I also couldn't help but think of the seasoned veterans of the faith here today. Those of you who have served God faithfully over large portions of your life. But even after so many years, still some of you continue to deal with issues regarding your identity in Christ. And this happens because the enemy always tries to deceive us into wrong kind of thinking. He works hard at getting you to doubt, to question God's sovereignty, to doubt the power of the Holy Spirit that is active in your life. He will do his best to get you to dwell on things from your past. Mistakes that you have made, wrong choices that you've made, actions that maybe you're now ashamed of. And he does this because he wants to take those past hurts and those past issues in your life, and he wants them to define your future. To make you think that you are not a new creation in Christ. In case you haven't noticed, I've titled this message today, Identity Theft. Because let's be very clear about one thing. Our enemy Satan will do everything he can to get you to question your identity in Christ. He wants to steal your new identity, which was given to you by God the very day that you received Jesus into your life. And he will get you to start doubting your salvation and what it all means to you in your life. Because if he can mess up your thinking, he could really jack you up. And he does a lot of believers. And it will prevent you from ever being everything that Christ has called you to be. You see, your identity is about how you view yourself in your position as a child of the living God. And it's important to take on your new identity in Christ and to be comfortable with it, to boldly live with it in confidence and in assurance. But I have found that where the breakdown occurs is after many people ask Christ to be the Lord and Savior of their life, it ends right there. They do very little more to try to seek God in greater ways. Don't get me wrong, salvation in Christ is the greatest gift we have ever received, and it promises you eternal life with your Heavenly Father. But I'm here to tell you that it can't just stop there. You can't just end it, okay, I'm saved. You need to seek God's will in your life. You need to seek His direction in your life. And that requires a deeper and a more intimate relationship with Him than maybe you have going on right now. And in light of all of this, and in looking at the time that each and every one of us has left here on this earth, and none of us know what that is, the question becomes, what are you doing with the time that you have left? Are you living in a way that will bring glory to God and to draw others to the cross? Is there something different about that people can see in you? Is there something different in you that people can see? And does it make them thirsty for what it is that you have? Have you fully grasped this life-changing miracle performed in your life? Do you fully understand the magnitude of the promise and the privilege and the provision that all of that brings? Do you really believe what the scriptures say when it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Are you boldly walking in confidence that can only come through a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Only you can answer that question. In your new identity with Christ, or your existing identity in Christ, depending on how long you've served Him, this has to be your highest priority. You cannot allow anyone or anything to steal your identity. No identity theft. We should all desire to exemplify Christ in everything that we do, in how we live, in how we trust, and in how we approach God on a daily basis. We need to walk daily in faith with great expectation in knowing that we are children of the King. Because that is the best place you could ever find yourself. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, this kind of certainty regarding your faith and your identity in Christ can only come through a renewed mind. There's nothing more dramatic that happens in the life of a believer than when we begin to look at our life, our plans, our future, our purpose differently through a renewed mind. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Word of God tells us about having a renewed mind, a new way of thinking, a new outlook, a new intellect, a new nature. When you pursue Christ and you pursue His righteousness in your life, you begin to develop a renewed mind. And this is what ultimately forms your identity in Christ. But you have to understand that developing this new identity doesn't come automatically. And if I can use some computer technology this morning, and I know a little bit about computers, but when I compare myself to some of the people here, I am an illiterate when it comes to computers. But I'm going to use the terminology just in case, or just instead. To use computer terminology, you might say it requires a change of internal software. A new data management system inside of you. Most importantly, it requires new data being input into you. So that what prints out from your life comes from that new data source. Now, for those new believers here today, you haven't had time or necessarily even the knowledge to pursue or even think about what I'm talking about this morning. So please, oh, I lost my mic. Please receive this message as step one for you. Use it as a guide to help you to develop your identity in Christ. But whether you are new or whether you are a longtime believer, whenever we fail to make these internal changes, whenever we fail to take in new data, and when the data that you continue to spew forth continues to be the things of this world, I fear that what will print out for you is the same old thing. The same old stuff. Habits that you can't control. Weaknesses, addictions, fears, and a variety of troubles that disable and control you. And if that describes you today, I would submit to you that you haven't been renewing your mind, and therefore you haven't yet grasped your new identity in Christ Jesus. Here's some common examples that I've heard of in ministry that Christians say that they struggle with and that they can't overcome. When you're talking about your marriage and you say things like, I can't love him, or I can't love her anymore. When you believe you can't overcome your fears. When you say things like, I can't control my anger, or I can't control my tongue. When you don't believe that you can overcome temptation or habitual sin that's been a practice in your life before you met Christ. When you don't think that God's strength is great enough for you to kick a stronghold or kick some kind of an addiction or a habit. Or when you believe that living victoriously for Jesus Christ is unattainable. Why do so many professing Christians act and talk that way? I can't. I can't. I can't. This is the kind of thinking that comes from a mind that has truly been renewed yet. And therefore, it is lacking understanding of the tremendous power that you possess in Christ Jesus. And it prevents you from looking at things in a new way, differently than perhaps you did before. Well, Pastor David, how do I get this? Where do I get it? How do I fully embrace this new identity that I've been given? Well, thank you for asking. Let's look at the Word of God to see what it has to say about this. This is a novel approach. We're going to go to the Word of God. We're going to be spending some time in Colossians today. Colossians 3, chapter 1, verse 2. These should all be up on the screen because I know I move fast and it's impossible for you to follow me. Colossians 3, 1, 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. In a nutshell, if you are going to live a victorious Christian life, the only place to get that is where Christ is. But sadly, too many of us continue to keep our eyes somewhat towards heaven, and we still allow our cultural influences to sculpt our identity. It's like we believe we can successfully live in both camps, one foot in God's camp and one foot in the world's camp. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a recipe for failure. You've got to remember that as Christ followers, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are separated. Keep your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. Go where Jesus Christ is. He is at the right hand of the Father. So if you need a renewed mind, which creates your new identity, then guess where you must be? And understand, all of this is predicated on one major thing from that scripture that I read to you. And that is, if then you have been raised with Christ. Understand, it is an assumed reality that since you have been raised with Christ, through your salvation experience, that you have the ability to have a renewed mind. As Paul is writing this, the Colossians, just like many of us, are professing faith in Jesus Christ. But just like us, they're being tempted by the world to live something contrary to what they are professing. They're getting the wrong signals, and the Apostle Paul is saying that there's a contradiction here. And that's why he writes this. If, in fact, you have been raised in Christ Jesus, this results in a new way of thinking. And not only does this result in a new way of thinking, but it is translated into a new way of living. What I'm trying to convey to you today is this. In order to renew your mind, which translates into a new way of living, you must receive clarification about your identity. And unfortunately, many believers just haven't grasped who they are yet in Christ. They get confused. They really don't understand their identity in Christ. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you confessed your sins and you asked Him to be the Lord of your life, it meant something. You were saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. You became a new creation. You became a joint heir with Christ. You have been adopted into royalty. Jesus is now your Savior. And when you understand the excellency of Jesus Christ, you're really saying something. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul talks about the excellency of Jesus. He talks about how He is the visible image of the invisible God. How that there is none like Him. How that Jesus Christ is the now and forevermore. That Jesus Christ is the one who God built the entire program of salvation around. How that Jesus Christ cannot be compared to anyone in human history or anything since creation. He sets forth the excellency of Christ. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Everything that God was, everything that God is, everything that God ever will be, you will find in Christ. So if you take a good look at Jesus, you have seen every bit of God at work in the human body. Colossians 2:10 goes on to say, "And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." In other words, in Him, you have been made complete. Everything you need, everything that is necessary to live life with a renewed mind and to walk in your new identity in Christ is found in Jesus Christ. You don't need to look anywhere else for this. Everything that you need to be God's man or woman of faith is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. So the question that's dying to be asked is, where are you in relationship with Jesus? You see, if you are in Christ, you have already been made complete. Let me say that again. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have already been made complete. You are not trying to make it. You've made it. You are complete in Christ. Quit doubting that. Quit convincing yourself that you don't measure up. Oh, it's such a problem in the church. People not feeling worthy of what God has blessed them with through Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Christ is the head over all rule and authority. And check this out. He who rules over all authority has to be allowed to rule over you. Even if you have been raised in Christ, as the scripture says, unless you submit your life fully to Him, the benefits of His rule aren't all really yours. You see, there are benefits for my daughter Brooke living under the rule and the authority of my house. But if she doesn't submit to that authority, she loses out on the benefits that authority provides. The benefits come with the rule of authority. They go hand in hand. Colossians 2:12, "Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Let me break this down for you. Jesus died physically. We died to sin spiritually. Jesus was separated from His life physically when He was placed into the tomb. We are separated from our old life spiritually, but only when we become spiritually baptized through our identification and recognition of Jesus Christ. Jesus was physically brought out from the dead through His resurrection, and you and I are given a brand new spiritual life when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We have a spiritual parallel to the physical reality of what Jesus experienced. So then who are you? You are a brand new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. the new has come. You are not the same person you used to be if, in fact, Jesus lives in you. Can you receive that this morning and believe it? I don't want anybody leaving here today not believing this in their heart of hearts. If you believe that, if you don't believe that, I am here to tell you this morning that you've caught a bit of religion. You haven't caught Jesus Christ. You've just caught a bit of religion and you're living a religious spirit. The only way that you know Jesus is your life is if a change has taken place. You have been made brand new positionally, but the problem for so many is becoming brand new functionally. How am I going to function in this world, in this new identity as a Christ follower? In order to be functionally brand new, you must accept the reality of being brand new. As long as you assume you are what you used to be, you'll continue to emulate what you used to be. You must accept that you are now in Christ Jesus and reject what you used to be. You see, the reason that so many people struggle in living a victorious Christian life is that we have yet to accept our new status in Christ. Because in Him, ladies and gentlemen, you are complete. So how do I make this work in everyday life? Move down to Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Listen, you do not become spiritual by using the world's methods. You don't. The world's approach has nothing to do with your spiritual life at all. Far too many people pursue cultural wisdom in their life and they seek advice from the world, but you have to understand you have been raised with Christ. I hear people say all the time, well, He's my all in all, He's my everything, and yet many consult the world when they need help and advice. They talk to friends, they talk to specialists, and God seems to be the last one that they think to go to. Why do so many believers submit themselves to the meager elements of this world? Why, if you live in a palace, do you choose to eat your meals in the garage? Why, when you live in the king's house, would you submit yourself to trying to be spiritual away from the king? God doesn't need help from this world. He doesn't need it at all. He has all the help you need to live like His son or His daughter, because in Him you are complete. Colossians 3:1. Again, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really it in a nutshell. This imperative tells us that there must be a shift in our focus. If there's going to be victory in your everyday living and confidence in your new identity, you have to keep seeking things above and not here on this earth. All these scriptures are not instruction on how we are to live when we get to heaven. We don't need to know how to live when we get to heaven, because when we get to heaven, we're not going to have financial issues. We're not going to have physical problems. We're not going to have anger issues or addictions or strongholds or loneliness or health struggles. We're not going to have any of that. These verses instruct us on how to live on earth in your new identity as a Christ follower. God wants His people to be a living, a heavenly example here in this hellish world. And that's where your new identity in Christ becomes so paramount. Your mind has to have a heavenly focus in order to have any earthly application for your daily walk and your daily feet. There must be a divine perspective. Why do we keep seeking the things above? Because that's where Christ is. He is at the right hand of the Father. The right hand, understand, is a place of honor. It is a place of recognition, of credibility, of dignity, of strength, of power, of dominion. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, He went to God's right hand to receive all of those things forevermore. He completed His task. And He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father, a place of honor. You see, when you seek Jesus Christ in your life, you are seeking that which is honored. And God will honor anything that honors His Son. If you seek a renewed mind, God will honor that. And He will empower you to, in fact, have a renewed mind. So when you seek Christ, you honor God. And when you honor God, God honors you with the victory and the success and the very thing that you need to succeed. So it's important to focus our attention, to set our mind, to place our affections, a decision of our will, on the things above. You must take on the attitude every day that I want everything that you have for me in my life, Lord. I want the victory of Jesus Christ in my life to have power over my struggles. And when I'm confronted with something, I now live by filtering it through God's word and through his example. When facing difficulty, I find out what Jesus believes and what Jesus has to say about this and what is written in the word of God about this. That's why it's important that we need to get into the word to find out what it's all about. And speaking of filtering things through the word, let me just take a little sidetrack here if I can. There's a scripture in James chapter 4, which is kind of a complaint against businessmen that I think has an application for us today. And I'll get to my point in a minute. Let me read the scripture, James 4, 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or we will do that. He is reminding these men to conduct business as though Jesus Christ was the Lord over their business. And the parallel to us today is that many of us live life like Jesus isn't Lord. Oh, he's Lord over our church service and our attending here on Sunday mornings, but at other times away from this place, he may not be. Listen, Jesus is interested in being Lord over your entire life, completely. When you are away from here, when you are at work, when you're in business, when you're in your financial dealings, in your private moments, in all of your relationships, in your social life, and especially when no one else is looking. That's when he really wants to be the Lord of your life. And he's even interested in your thought life. The things that go through this cranium of yours. He wants to be a part of that. That's why the Bible says to hold every thought captive. He doesn't want you to think apart from his word. In Genesis chapter 13, you will read a story of two men in the Old Testament, Abraham and Lot. And the problem was that their herds were so large that they couldn't occupy the same space. And this began to create a conflict between their servants. And so Abraham talks with Lot and he says, you select the area that you want to go with your people and your herds, and I will take what is left over. What's interesting about this is that Abraham actually had the larger herd. But he had a godly perspective in his dealings. And he not only looked at his things, but he also looked at what Lot had and what Lot needed. He wasn't just concerned about the needs for his herd, he was concerned about Lot's. And in your new identity in Christ, it allows you to look past just your needs. And it allows you to start looking at the needs of other people. No longer is it always just what's best for me, myself, and I, but what's best for my neighbor. The Bible says that Lot turned and he looked towards the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the plains of that place were filled with plush greenery and beautiful green grass. It was a beautiful place. But the scripture goes on to say that in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was wickedness in the eyes of the Lord. Both men were wealthy. Both men, however, did not necessarily take on the same perspective. Lot wanted to raise his herds in a place that looked good to the eye. But when you scratch down below the surface, there was deep spiritual decay. And there's a great parallel of this that runs in the world in which we live. Abraham took what was left over, probably knowing already what Lot was going to choose, therefore pleasing the Lord, who he had obeyed earlier in chapter 12 of that same book. Well, guess what happened? Lot, going near Sodom and Gomorrah, gets sucked into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he loses it all. But Abraham took on the perspective of God. And because of his obedience, God says, look, everything that you see will belong to you and your descendants because of his obedience. The point is, and the point I tell you that whole story is to let you realize that Abraham had his eyes focused on things above. He had a heavenly perspective. He was not looking at things through his worldly eyes. Yet Lot, on the other hand, had an earthly perspective, and it ultimately cost him everything. What does this have to do with me? I think it's very simple. A renewed mind means that I want a divine perspective. I want to live out my new identity in Christ every single day. Establishing my thought, my mind on things from above and receiving input from God and not from popular culture. Understand, regardless of what the enemy may plant in your mind, your old life no longer has power over you. Will you just please believe that this morning? Drugs, drinking, immorality, swearing, lust, anger, greed, whatever it is that you struggle with, it no longer has power over you. You have died to it all. And unless you believe that, you can't live it. You've got to change your thinking. You must inform this old body that none of this holds dominion over you anymore because you have a renewed mind and you have a new identity in Christ. As a Christ follower, I am in Christ and I am protected by the Son who is in the Father. So if I'm in Christ and Christ is in God, I am protected and I am hidden in the shelter of the wings of Almighty God. I want you to imagine that. I want you to imagine God as a big eagle with his wings just wrapped around you and holding on to you. You see, Satan cannot pluck you out. He can't. It's impossible because I am in my Father's hands. I am not only protected by the Son, which is good enough, but I am protected by the Father, and that's all that I need to know. You are in good hands, ladies and gentlemen. You think State Farm puts you in good hands? You are in the best possible hands that you could be in. And once you realize whose hands are firmly holding you, whose hands are protecting you, whose hands are perfecting you, there are no better hands to be in. So what do you mean? I can't get off drugs. I can't get out of this unhealthy relationship that I'm in. I can't break free from this pornography. I can't forgive them. They hurt me too deeply. I can't stop my anger. I can't stop cursing like a sailor. I can't. You don't know who you are. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. That's a good place to clap. Is he your life today?
Yes.
Is he your all in all?
Yes.
It's not a question of did you accept him as your Lord and Savior, but is he your life? You know how you know if something is your life? You talk about it, you dwell on it all day long. I love to see what happens to macho men when they fall deeply in love with a woman. When a man, a guy who barely cracks a smile or even has any emotion in his life, falls in love with a woman, and he looks at that woman and he says, "You're my life." What he means is, "I'm consumed with you. Thoughts of you possess my mind and my thinking." And then he says stuff like this. He says, "So even when I'm not thinking about you, baby, I'm thinking about not thinking about you, girl." And the girl goes, "Oh." This is what this means. Guys get so deeply consumed by the love of a woman, it's almost comical to see how they change. But the point is, we change, don't we, guys? That's what this means. When you are in Christ, a change begins to occur in your life. It begins to occur in the way that you live your life. When you get up in the morning, the first thing on your mind isn't necessarily what am I going to accomplish today, but it is in whatever I choose to accomplish today, I'm going to do it in a way that brings glory to my Heavenly Father. In whatever situations that I encounter, in whatever decisions I need to make, I will this day take on the mind of Christ. I will walk in the Spirit this day. I will deny my flesh and I will keep my eyes and my trust wholly and fully upon the strength of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And then your day ends with thanksgiving. As God miraculously walked you through another day successfully. So it's Jesus in the morning, Jesus at lunchtime, and Jesus when the sun goes down. That's your new identity in Christ. Now you can call that being a fanatical if you want. But the truth is every one of you is a fanatic about something. Some of you are fanatical about business. It's all you think about. All you can think about is producing in greater ways, and it consumes your every thought. Some people are fanatical about another person. He or she is all you think about all day long. Some of you are fanatical about money, and you would think it was a person because it holds such emotional value over you. Some of you are sports fanatics. That's all you think about. Every word that comes out of your mouth is about sports. It's like you should be running a sports franchise or something. Some of you are fanatical about yourself. Every thought, every dollar, every moment is spent on you looking better. So why do so many people get critical when I suggest being a fanatic about Jesus Christ? But that's exactly where you want to be. And please get this straight. If you remember anything I'm going to tell you this morning, get this straight. Being a fanatic for Jesus Christ in no way means you have to be weird. Amen. Can I say that again? Being a fanatic for Jesus Christ in no way means you have to walk around being weird. Come on. You've all met Christians. You've all met Christians that are nuttier than fruitcakes, haven't you? Every one of you have. Don't act in all innocent. You know what I'm talking about. It's okay. God loves them too. He loves them. But you've also met normal Christians. Right? You've met normal people. I like to think I'm normal. I hope you think I'm normal. You've met me. I'm normal. Please say I'm normal. But you meet those normal Christians and you see the way they walk. And you say, I want to be like that. That's how I want to live my life. I want to love the Lord, not be a fruitcake. I want Him to guide and direct my steps every single day. All I'm saying this morning is that Jesus Christ needs to be the greatest aspect of your life in order for you to have a renewed mind, in order for you to live in your new identity in Christ. And that relationship with Christ is manifested by the way that you live, through your actions, through your behaviors, through your outlook. He is the right thing to be fanatical about, ladies and gentlemen. And if we could just simply learn to give Him our greatest attention and our greatest affection and our greatest devotion, there wouldn't be a person in this place who would speak words like, I can't, I can't, I can't. Because when Jesus Christ is the very essence of your life, you begin to understand that you are a daughter or a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are royalty. Power and dominion over all things now belongs to you. If we could only begin to realize this, what a difference it would make in our individual lives. What a difference it would make in this church, and what a difference it would make in this community called Red Bluff. I'm not trying to be a motivational speaker this morning. And you may think that that's the way it's come across. What I'm trying to do is to get you to start thinking like the royalty that you are and accept your identity. You see, if a rich relative died and left you everything, left you his home, his accounts, his investments, his cars, all of it, you would immediately start living differently. You would quickly begin to start living in your new identity as a wealthy heir. You change the way you do things. You change the way you dress. You change the things you drive. You would change the places you eat. You would change everything, because all of a sudden money would not be an issue. You could do whatever it is that you wanted to do. Why then does it become so difficult for Christians to take on their new identity in Christ? Is it because your bank account doesn't swell overnight? Is it because you're still driving that same old car or no car at all? Is it because your financial portfolio is still weak? You see, we've all got to realize that when we receive Christ, we become spiritually rich. Let me put that in terms that you can understand. You have become a spiritual gazillionaire. Is that a word? No longer are you thrown adrift by false teaching and doctrine. No longer are you frail and weak when it comes to who you serve and what you believe and what you can accomplish in this life. No longer do you look at your circumstances through your eyes of your flesh. Because when you began to grasp your identity in Christ Jesus, everything looks differently to you, and everyone begins to know that you are different. You begin to live life with a confidence that no matter what this world throws at you, and guarantee you they'll throw a lot at you, you are complete and you are fulfilled and empowered in the Holy Spirit, and that's all you need to know. Scott, you want to come forward and help me shut this down? You know, in speaking of your new identity in Christ, understand that there are a lot of people out there who will try to steal it from you. Continually putting doubts into your head, get you to deny who you are, get you to deny what you've obtained in Christ Jesus. And that's because the Bible tells us that the gospel message is foolishness to those who are perishing. Isn't it interesting that those who are sinking laugh at the very thing that can save them? And they will scorn you for what you've obtained in Christ Jesus. You're trying to throw them a life preserver and they're throwing it back to you. And they're saying, I don't need that. And you're an idiot for believing what you believe. Just thank you. I'll drown peacefully. This is why God wants us to live within our new identity, strong and loud. To live in a way that makes people notice something different about us. I love that Stephen Curtis Chapman song. The lyrics say, live out loud. Live your life out loud. The world is looking for the real deal. They're looking for something that they can believe in. Because in case you haven't noticed, there's no such thing as Superman. He doesn't exist. He's a comic book character. There's nothing to believe in this world besides your family and your loved ones and Jesus Christ. That is it. And our number one priority for every one of us should be to live life in a way where people see us and see something different. Because you know what? You may be the only Jesus that person's ever going to see in their lifetime. You may be the only Jesus. Tell me, does the world know this about you? Do those who you work with and those who you come into contact with in your social circles and outside of this place, do they know about your identity in Christ? You've got to start living and you've got to quit existing. Far too many Christians exist. You get up and you go through the motions all day long with no real joy, no real excitement in your life. And you need to start living, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to start living in the promises that God provides for us. You've got to start living boldly and confidently and quit doubting who you are. You've got to put a little swagger in your step. Oh, I'm a Christian. Praise Jesus. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has saved me from my sin, and He has delivered me from the darkness, and I walk in authority and dominion over all things. And what you have to throw at me, Satan, you're bush league. Get out of here. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That needs to be your mentality every single day. You are a new creation. Say it. I am a new creation. You are complete in Christ Jesus. Please understand that. Christ came humbly and He lived a life, a sinless life, and He died on the cross for your sins in order to give you new life and in order to give you a new identity. But you will not grasp that new identity until you renew your mind and you start living within that identity. And how will anybody know that you're any different until you start living in that identity? I encourage you today to start living like a child of the King. Quit worrying about what other people think of you. I got over that a long time ago. Know who you are in Christ and quit worrying about what the world says. Renew your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Receive your new identity. Embrace your new identity and fully live within it 24/7 here and outside of this place. And most importantly, don't let anybody steal it from you. There will be no identity theft going on at Bethel Assembly. Amen? As I prayed about how I was going to end this service, I believe God gave me an idea. And I want everyone in this place today to speak forth some words of proclamation about your identity in Christ. You know, sometimes your spirit needs to hear your voice speak forth truth, abiding truth. When your ears hear it, your spirit absorbs it, and it can really resonate with you, within you. So up on the screen, we are going to have some powerful statements regarding your identity with Christ. And I want all of us in this place, I want you to stand to your feet. You've been comfortable long enough. I'm standing up here sweating and you're sitting down. Stand up. You can sweat with me. These statements are truth regarding your relationship with Christ. And I want us to read them out loud in unison. And I don't want you to just say, I am a child of the King with full rights and privileges. I want you to speak this out like you mean it. I want you to speak this out as though Jesus was standing in front of you and you are acknowledging Him and you are letting Him know what He means to you in your life and what you believe you've obtained through a relationship with Christ. So everybody, loud and strong. There's a bunch of them. It's going to take us about 3 minutes, but it's okay. You need to hear this. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. I am a child of the King with full rights and privileges. I am perfectly loved by my Heavenly Father. He has redeemed me from darkness and given me new life. I have been forgiven of all my sin. I am saved by grace through faith and not of my own works. I am fully acceptable to God and I am co-heir with Jesus. Through His shed blood on the cross, my Savior has all authority. Jesus has authority over sin, over sickness, over death, over the world, and over Satan. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Him. I was buried with Him. I was raised with Him into a new life. I am perfectly righteous and completely holy. I will live above sin because I am prone to do righteousness. I am a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. I carry the authority of Christ over sin and over the flesh, over demons and over the world. I can resist the devil and he will flee from me. I have the full armor of God and I will not live in fear. My trust is in the Lord and the power of His might. I will live a victorious life. I am not a victim. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. I will overcome in this world because greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. This is who I am and what I possess as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you believe that? I don't want you to believe it. Just believe it. I want you to live it. I want you to leave here today understanding those words you've spoken. Let them become a part of who you are. And I guarantee you, you will clearly understand your identity and you will start walking in the knowledge of Christ every single day, overcoming your flesh and being the man or woman of God that He has called you to be. Amen? Before you leave today, I want to pray over you. And then after that, I'd like to ask the prayer team to come forward. If you have any prayer requests, any needs in your life, why don't the prayer team just come forward right now. If you have anything you want to pray about, come forward and they will pray with you. If you've been listening to this message today, and perhaps you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come forward and talk with one of these prayer warriors here. They will show you the way. It's very simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all and that He died on the cross for your sins and you need to proclaim it. That's all you need to do and Christ will save you and you can take on your new identity with Christ. So I'm going to pray over you. After the prayer, you are free to leave. If you'd like prayer, please come forward and let the prayer team pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the awesome men and women of Bethel Assembly. What an incredible place this is, Lord God. What an incredible place You have sent me to. And I thank You for every one of them. God, I pray is that we leave here today, we would leave here in our full identity of Christians. We would understand who You are in our life, the power that we possess through having a relationship with You. Father, that everyone would leave here being the royalty that they are, holding their head high and knowing that You are in complete and total control of everything in their life. I ask as they leave here, Father, that You would bless them this week, that You would prosper everything that their hands applied to, that You would make roads straight, You would clear pathways for them to fulfill Your ministry in their life. We thank You for this time together. We thank You that You are an awesome and a mighty God who loves us, who cares about us, and who died for us and rose again so that we could be risen again as new creations. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give our lives to you. We give our days to you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you for being here. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. I want to be close.